Josh, you have a piece of music you've written that is definitely autobiographical and representative of a number of events in your life. Is that what inspired the act of writing your first cello concerto, or were you already thinking about writing something and all of a sudden here comes this inspiration?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, it wasn't really my idea. In fact, composing in general was not really something that I intended to bring into my life so early, I guess. I always thought it would be interesting to write some music, and I've had a lot of experience with improv and coming up with short little songs that I never really finished with my friends when I was, growing up, that sort of thing. But the act of writing complete pieces, putting them down on paper, and especially of writing them and getting other people to be involved is something that's come about mostly by the opportunities around me. So even the first piece I wrote, which is a solo cello piece, happened because I was asked to write a piece in a situation where there was not enough time to get the composers that I'd asked them to commission. So the commissioning party said, well, can you write it? And I was like, well, I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, so I did. And it went well, and that's what's been happening since. So the concerto sort of came about with some discussions with the Illinois Philharmonic and David Donsmeyer, who's the music director here as well with ProMusica. And the executive director at the Illinois Philharmonic had put David and myself together. And out of these conversations about a commission came the idea that, well, why don't I write a piece? When I was game,
why not?
For better or worse, I was game. And so I wrote the piece. And the story, I just, writing a piece of music is quite a task. And this was a big leap for me, having written previously for maximum six people. All of a sudden to write for chamber orchestra, a full-length, 21-minute piece. So I thought a lot about the structure and about what I wanted to say, what I wanted it to be about, and I wanted to go personal. I really wanted to do something that was meaningful and therefore hopefully tap into something that other people could relate to. So I thought back on relationships and the things that happen in them and lessons that you learn or don't. And I sort of drew from that for my inspiration with the narrative I created.
Playing things that are inspired by your own life certainly are different than trying to get inside of a piece written for you, whether it's by Mason Bates or Aaron J. Kernis. How did it differ for you in being able to interpret this piece of music as opposed to trying to understand what another composer is telling you?
That's a very interesting question, and I have to say the process is quite new to me, and so there were some kind of hilarious things that happened, like getting to the week of the first performance and realizing that I don't think I'd practiced yet my own concerto, like the week of the first performance. I was like, oh no. But obviously I knew it. I had it memorized, but my fingers didn't know it and doesn't necessarily translate so quickly. So amongst all the other things that I had to do as a composer with the parts and the score and listening to the orchestra was, as you say, trying to interpret it as a soloist. And luckily, I have a lot of insight, being also the composer, into the mood behind it. But again, turning that into something that the fingers do was different. And I'm really glad to have the first performance finished now, so that I've learned that lesson and had time to figure out more, how are the fingers involved in this? What are the exact sounds? How do I get the sounds that I know that I want? And that's the connection here, is not what sounds do I want, but how do I get them?
And this is, it's traditional in that it's a cello and an orchestra, but it's untraditional in many ways, such as it's a five-movement work.
That's right.
And there are things that you do as a cellist that a century ago, nobody would ever have dreamed of doing. Percussion, for instance.
Yes, well, there's definitely some percussive elements. I use different sounds on the cello. And for me, actually, the sort of most revolutionary or unconcerto-like part of this piece is that the transformation happens, the sort of the most important, in a way, the most important moment of the piece happens when the cello stops playing.
Hmm.
So the awakening is the point at which the cello, who vaguely represents sort of our protagonist, the cello finally gives up on trying to control the whole situation, at which point the orchestra finally has room to bloom, which you've been hearing a little bit from the beginning. So they start out setting the scene and growing a little bit, but the cellist is always saying, well, no, let's do this instead. And eventually, you know, the cellist, like I said, gives up, and the orchestra has room to bloom, has room to discover what's in this big sort of climax comes in, and it wouldn't happen if I jumped in. So I'm sitting back for that. And then after that, the orchestra finds its own pulse and creates a space for the cello to re-enter the picture. So it's interesting. Usually, I think the cellist is definitely involved in the climax, but not here.